Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you on the last day of 2008. Times a flying. Jesus is coming. The signs of his coming are everywhere. And we are. I remember we've been speaking about angels now here for a while. I'm going to talk about it more. Be sure you're with us January 5th when we start to talk about angels and how they have to do with your making it through economic times of trouble and woe, how they can bring to you what God's not at all affected by what's happening in this earth. And so we're going to talk about that starting January 5th. But I want you to be so aware now as we're going in front to the new year tomorrow, as of these unseen forces. I was awakened. It was December 7th, 5:30 a.m., with these words, God is ready to tap his resources, to set them in military array. God is now ready to tap his resources for an awakening in this end of days. One of his great resources. And oh, they have to do with the harvest. They have to do with the reaping. They have to do with salvation, saving us from troubles and woes, delivering us. And they have to do with their warring angels, worshiping their God's unseen force and host, the angelic host. Now, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 6. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither say before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Folks, we did an extensive teaching on what we say. We did this with Gloria Copeland on television. And it was so powerful in my own mind that the Hebrew word devar for word is the same as the Hebrew word devar for thing, and how that our words affect things. We have recently had here Phil Driscoll, and he has such a revelation of sound. And the Lord even showed him more about sound when he was in prison, and how sounds affect our atmosphere around us. Brother Hagin has a wonderful mini book on words, how your words affect the very atmosphere of things around you. Now this tells us, suffer not your mouth to sin, to cause your flesh to sin, neither say before your angel it was an error. You know, I often see this. We don't get time out. We don't get King's X when we want to just break the law of love suddenly. Suddenly we notice a suffered wrong. Suddenly we are just, the young people say, dishing. Isn't that how they say it? People, with our mouths. Oh, how terrible that is. It is an abomination to the Lord. The Bible says that using your mouth in such a way is one of the things that God sees as an abomination, sowing discord among the brethren. Now, here it says in Ecclesiastes, suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. It says that your mouth, what you say, it can be the instrument of your sin. And don't do it. And it says, neither say thou before the angel, oops, it was an error. I shouldn't have said that. I take that back. Your confessions are heard in the presence of your angels. Wherever you are right now, there is at least one angel with you, assigned to you as your guardian angel. The Jews say, and I believe they're right about this, that there are two angels assigned to you because the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established, and that you are given two witnesses to travel with you through your life. And when it comes time before whichever judgment seat you go to give an account for your life, your two angels are there as witnesses. So this verse tells us, watch what you say in front of your angels. Not only is God listening and knows when you're dishing a brother, but those angels are there. So the point of this verse is your confession has to do with your angels. Your confession has to do with how they help you and whether or not they can help you. Now, I learned this, if you'll go with me to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to be using Hebrews as our book of study today and tomorrow and the next day. I once was invited to speak at a large church in a large city. The pastor didn't want me, but a woman that gave lots of money to the church wanted me there. And she actually wanted the faith message in her church. She would like to have had Brother Hagin. She would like to have had Brother Copeland, Brother Capps, but she couldn't get any of those people. But she could get me. And so she invited me to come. She had been begging the pastor to get someone with the faith message, as it was called in those days. And he really wouldn't do it, but he didn't want to offend her. But he told her, he said, I'm going to be out of the country, so you can get the lady to come and speak. It'll be fine. Now, that church had several thousands of members, but on Wednesdays, they just had little services. You could go to a class on this or a class on that, or you could go to the praise service. And the praise service had about 300 people in it. So I was invited to speak at the praise service. Now, she told me, you only can have 45 minutes. And if you speak one moment past 45 minutes, they will ask you to come down off the platform. And she gave me the name of the man who was hosting it, and he was even a politician that I was known nationally in this big city that happened to be where he went to church. And she said, he's going to host the program, and he will just come and get you and tell you to sit down. So I prayed to God. The pressure was on. The pressure was on from her. She wanted me to change that whole church into the faith message in one 45-minute session, and the pressure was on that you're going to have to do this in 45 minutes. Now, oh, I tell you, I was so dependent upon the Lord. I asked him, oh, Lord, what do you want me to preach? What do you want me to teach? And the Lord said, I want you to speak on the glorious church, your revelation that I gave you. Well, the revelation that God gave me on the glorious church, which much of it is in my book, The Blood and the Glory, I had never preached that under 90 minutes. You have to have an hour and a half to wrap the thing up, to get them to see, starting from Genesis, to get people to see down to Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I had never preached it in less than 90 minutes. And I said, oh, Lord, surely not that. And every time I was down on the floor in my bedroom, I was staying in her beautiful home. I was down on my tummy on the floor praying, oh, God, give me another message. Please let me preach something else. And the only thing I ever heard out of him was, pray Hebrews 12. Pray Hebrews 12. That's not a prayer. I even said that to the Lord. Ephesians 1 is a prayer. Colossians 1 is a prayer. Ephesians 3 is a prayer. But Hebrews chapter 12 is not a prayer. But that's all I could hear from God, no matter what I said. So I was lying down there and I thought, well, no one will ever know. So I started praying Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed around with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I looked up at the Lord and I said, see, it's not a prayer. Then I just heard again, pray Hebrews 12. So I kept on. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race set before us. Every once in a while I was looking up to the Lord. Then I got down to the chastening of the Lord and root of bitterness, and I couldn't see any prayer. And then I read, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and burned with fire and unto blackness. You see, this was written to Hebrews, Jews that had become born again. And they knew about that. They knew about that Mosaic covenant. They knew about the Levitical law that was given at Sinai. And they said, you have not come to the mount that might be touched. But, verse 22, you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. I can only tell you that when I got to this verse, something happened to me. Suddenly, it was as though I were not down on that floor on my tummy. I was up in the heavenly Jerusalem on the mountain of God. You are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. They refused back at Sinai. They said, we don't want to hear, let Moses speak to us, but don't you refuse. You're going to work with me. You're not going to work with me according to the law. This is what I got out of it. You're going to work with me according to the new covenant, and here's what you have at your hand. You are doing business with me from Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. And as I was going up somewhere. You are doing business with an innumerable company of angels, It was as though when I went up, I could see what was written in here. I could see the spirits of just men made perfect. I could see I knew there was Abraham, there was Moses, and there was Grandma Pickard who was urging me on. And I said to the angels, go. I didn't think to say it. It just came up out of me. Go and cause people to come to the meeting tonight. That did not even know there was such a meeting. When we got to the meeting that night, they cut my time down to 30 minutes. A singer had come through and needed some of the time. The songs that he sang were filled with doubt and unbelief. It was even difficult to get up there after he sang those. He knew how to grab an audience and like a tearjerker. He was from Broadway. And so I got up and I began to speak. I asked God, please change the message. No, he would not change the message. And I started teaching Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, Psalm chapter 8. And then I saw this and then blah, 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 blah. And I was just blah, 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 blah. And I was thinking, I've preached this message many times and I don't even get it. The people were staring at me. Suddenly the 30 minutes was up and I was glad, ready to run out of there. But I looked over in the back corner and I saw the glory cloud come rolling in. And it swept the people from their pews down into the altar. One woman stood up and said, I've been running from God for 42 years. Today I was driving down this street and something took hold of my steering wheel and turned me into this church lot, and I haven't been able to move my car since. I want to get saved right now. Another man said, the same thing happened to me. I was driving in from two states away. And I'm backslidden. I used to know God. I used to walk with God, but I've been living another way. Something took hold of my steering wheel and pulled me in here and didn't let me move. I didn't know you had a service, but here you are. And he got right with God, and I thought, I remembered. Aha! I was up on Mount Zion. I was seeing how we work with God, and we came to an innumerable company of angels. I had given a command to the angels, go out and cause people to come to the meeting that don't know there is a meeting. I had experienced that what my mouth says, angels can work with. Watch what you say, the Bible says. This week we're making available to you absolutely free Brother Hagin's mini book, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. Just phone us at 1-800-972-3447. We'll send it free. Shalom until tomorrow.